This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us a couple of guests, one in the studio and one on the line. In the studio, we have with us Mike Morgan, the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels and a renowned police dog trainer. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And on the line, we have with us Greg Grabowski, who is the chief executive officer and president of Leader Dogs for the Blind down in Rochester. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thank you very much. We're excited to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Greg, for our listeners, can you explain to them what Leader Dogs for the Blind does?
Well, sure. Our kind of key passionate goal here is to make a difference in the lives of people who are visually impaired and blind and basically help them travel independently and safe. And we do that through our dog guide program. We have what we call Accelerated Orientation Mobility Program, and that's really kind of white cane. And then we have a GPS program and a summer camp for visually impaired and blind teens. So those are kind of our programs and services, but our real core thing based on our name, Leader Dogs for the Blind, is really about our dog guide program.
Interesting. And for how long have you been doing this? I mean, has the organization been around for a very long time and evolved?
The organization has been around since 1939, and it has evolved dramatically. So you can imagine maybe a Rochester Hills, a little farmhouse, and that has grown into, we have 16 acres, almost 300,000 square feet of building. We have a 36-room residence where the visually impaired and blind come for training here on campus from all over the world. And then a kennel that has, right now, I think we have about 250 dogs in the kennel right now. State-of-the-art veterinarian clinic, administration, so about $11 million budget.
Wow, that's a lot of dog chow.
It's probably about $70,000 worth of, we use Purina. So it's a lot of dog food.
Interesting. And, Greg, if you can explain, how do people, get involved with the program? How do you find the blind? I mean, how does an average person who needs your help get involved with your program? How does that process work?
Sure. Well, we could start a little bit on the volunteer side, which volunteers are critical to our organization. We have our own breeding colony. So we have female and male dogs that have a long lineage of being very good guide dogs. So we have our own breeding colony. And our breeding colony is hosted by host families all over the Midwest. Then basically when it comes time to get the female and male dog together, the volunteers bring them here to campus, our vet checks up the situation, and then a female dog goes back with the host family, and the dog's actually whelped in the host family's home. The little puppies stay with our volunteer host families for about 6 to 8 weeks. They come back to Leader Dogs. They get checked up, and then those little puppies go home only one per kind of family or person. And then there's another subset of volunteers that takes the puppies and raise them for an entire year for us. And the goal of the volunteer puppy raiser is kind of obedience training, and then what we call socialization. And basically socialization is to take the dog to as many different environments as you possibly can, which means the movie theater, the shopping mall, escalators, elevators, take them to work, cafeterias, I mean airplanes, trains, the whole kit and caboodle. And then the dog comes back from that training, goes through about 4 to 5 months of training with a professional trainer here at Leader Dogs, and then gets matched up with somebody who's visually impaired and blind. And there's about a 26-day training period. So the visually impaired and blind travel here to Rochester Hills in our residence, and then pretty much 26 days of intensive training with the dog, and then some follow-up services after that. So kind of that in a nutshell.
You definitely run it as a campus. It sounds like individuals come there and
pretty much you have to have a facility capable of keeping people for some time.
You do. Actually, it's like we have a mini hotel operation here.
Wow.
So we have an industrial kitchen. Folks have their own individual rooms and their own bathrooms. And, of course, it's set up for somebody who's visually impaired and blind. But, yeah, they really do. They need to move in. They need to move in,
now,
which is interesting because if you got to go somewhere for 26 days, you got a lot of luggage.
I would imagine so.
Now, it sounds like things have evolved a little bit lately. It sounds like the computer world has and GPS has kind of made the experience that much greater. Can you comment a little bit about how you're integrating both high technology with this breeding program?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're right now, and we're looking to hopefully bring out other partners, but right now we're the only guide dog school in the world that has taken personal GPS devices that are specifically designed for somebody who's visually impaired and blind and teamed that up with our guide dog program. So when somebody who's visually impaired and blind comes to Leader Dog, not only do they get training with the dog, but they get training with the personal GPS device.
And how long have you been doing that?
We've been doing that for about a year.
And it seems like a pretty sophisticated piece of equipment.
You know, it really, just like technology continues to evolve for us in the sighted world, it has started to pick up for somebody who's visually impaired and blind. Yeah, the device that we're using right now is pretty sophisticated. It's about the size of a credit card, and it works just like your GPS would work inside a car, give you directions in which way you're headed, when to turn right, when to turn left, when you've reached your destination, being able to plug in the addresses, make all of those kind of key announcements, except for it's making announcements for somebody who's walking on the sidewalk. So you are 30 feet from a curb. It's a four-way intersection, and you're going to need to basically cross the street and then take a right, and then your destination is four blocks down on the left. And you combine that with a guide dog, and you are talking about some serious independence for people that normally would have to ask the sighted world for some type of directions, or they would have traveled that route a lot, so they were used to kind of counting intersections and doing what we call a very repetitive route, so they're used to going there. But now with the GPS, it opens up the whole world for folks.
Holy cow. Greg, I can't even follow the 4/10 of a mile that it says to go when I pull up a MapQuest map. I can't imagine.
Well, there are a lot of sighted people that probably could utilize this device as well. I tell you, it's amazing. If you are sighted one day, wherever you're walking, just close your eyes for a few seconds, maybe spin around or just keep walking, and it is a... is the orientation, you lose it very, very quickly.
Yeah, I did that actually on the way from the parking lot to the building, and I definitely found myself in the grass.
Yeah, there you go. but it's very cool because the dogs, and I'm sure Mike can talk to you, you know, how he trains dogs for, you know, use with law enforcement later, but it's amazing the dogs are so smart and intuitive now where... So when somebody reached the destination, so let's just say I'm in New York, I'm blind, and I wanted to go to Starbucks, I plugged it in. And when I get to Starbucks, I can ask the dog to find the door. And the dog finds me the door because I know I'm at the right address. And when I walk in, I can hear all the noises that would be in a Starbucks, you know, the coffee clanging and the cups and the foaming and all of those type of things. And then I can ask the dog to help me find the counter. And then after I get my coffee, I can ask the dog to find me a seat. So the dog will look around and look for an empty chair. Now, the table might not be empty, but sometimes maybe that's a good way for folks to meet.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Harry meets Sally. You know?
Exactly.
Whole new
exactly.
situation.
Your dog could be potentially, if you're single, could be fixing you up. So
there,
you're
you
right.
There you go.
Interesting. Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, on the dog side of things, what kind of selection process do you folks use when you're trying to match the individual, the human, up with a dog? Is there a eHarmony kind of personality matching or something along that lines that you use so you get the right dog with the right person?
Gosh, you are so – that's exactly what happens. So what we do is we have a set of criteria that we're trying to match the attributes that the dog has with our client that's coming in, And then also, so that's kind of the, in a way, we kind of have this scientific checklist and some process that we do that way. And then the other part is that the trainer that trained the dog is also seeing videotape of, or now DVD, of the client and how fast the client walks and the gait of the client and how well they travel and where they travel and what environments they are, what they are. And so you really try to match that dog up. So if I'm a type A, hard charging, like to walk really fast, be in New York, need a dog that can handle the stress of all the traffic and want to keep up with the pace and go on the subway and that kind of stuff, and I'm an executive and I go to the office every day, I probably need a maybe more of a type A German Shepherd or a lab that really likes to lead out. As opposed to, I'm visually impaired and blind, I'm 70 years old, and I live on the farm, and I walk up to the general store, and I do things that, you know, with my different barns and walk around, you know, my farm and that kind of stuff. So maybe I need a little bit slower, laid-back, you know, lab. Or I'm potentially a middle-aged woman, I love to go shopping, and I just like to talk with lots of people, and so I need a social golden retriever. So yeah, you're right. There is a, there's science and also a little bit of personal with the trainer and then obviously with the person that's visually impaired and blind as well.
And I was reading all of the activities from people coming on campus to all these dog related rearing costs and such are all through donations.
They are.
That's amazing.
I'll tell you what, it is very amazing because we, again, have an annual budget of almost $11 million. Mm. So to have that kind of generosity in one form or another is absolutely amazing. And the Lions Club, so the Lions, the civic organization, they have released, the Lions have supported us and since the very, very beginning. They were the founders. And every summer, the Lions from all over the country, well, actually, and even some people from around the world from Lions Clubs come here to visit because they're very proud of what, frankly, they've invested in, they've helped build.
Fascinating. We're talking this morning with Greg Grabowski, the president and CEO of Leader Dogs for the Blind. Greg, in terms of some of the technology leaps that you've taken and things that you're doing where you're the only organization in the country or in the world, how much training are you doing in terms of into other universities, colleges, and other places to share what it is that you've learned?
Well, that's a great question. One of our kind of key partnerships is with Western. There's only 9 universities in the country, at least that's the number that I've been told, that have what we call orientation mobility training, which is really the profession of the study of people that are visually impaired and blind. So we try to reach out to all of those organizations with all the information and kind of what we've learned, and interestingly enough, kind of how we do things. And then the other thing we do is reach out to the, there's probably about 300 to 400 organizations around the country that help the visually impaired and blind, and we have reached out to all those folks, and especially with our new GPS device, which is dramatically cheaper, we have tried to reach out with everybody and said, kind of be part of this social movement, and it's not as hard, and it's not as expensive, and actually, we have gotten a lot of folks that are very interested. So I think we've helped start a little bit of a movement, but it will take the whole, as they always say, it'll take a village. It will definitely take everybody helping to work to drive the cost down and make it accessible for the 1.3 million people that are blind in the United States and another 10 million that are visually impaired. So there's lots to be done.
Interesting. And in terms of getting volunteers, getting donations, how do our listeners, if they're interested in doing one or the other or both, how do they find out more about your organization or actually donate money?
Sure. Both things, volunteering and donating money, are very much needed. They can go to www.leaderdog, and no plural, just leaderdog.org. Or they can give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 888-777-5332. And we always need breeding host families that want to host a dog, and then those folks that would like to be volunteer puppy raisers. And both come with extensive training and all kinds of support and ongoing education. So over just shy of 500 volunteers across the country that are raising puppies for us, and then we have another about 80 folks that are hosting the breeding host families. So we can always use those volunteers. And it is a rewarding job, and I will say also it is definitely not super easy either, but definitely very rewarding.
Interesting. And you're located in Rochester Hills, so if folks are out in the area, can they stop by and see the campus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're here pretty much 24/7, 7 days a week, because it's ongoing operation, so yeah, we're always here.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with Greg Grabowski, the president and the CEO of Leader Dogs for the Blind. Greg, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciated your insights.
Oh, thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation and talk more with Mike Morgan about other dogs, other work dogs, and things they can do to make the world a better place right here on the Mid-Michigan and Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Be sure to listen to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 1320 a.m. WILS.